Hey, what's up, guys? You're now listening to Devo with Uncle Theo. Today is day 114, and we're going to look at 1 Kings chapters 8 and 9. Last time we left off, we saw that Solomon was building the temple. It took him 7 years to build, and we saw an interesting note placed right in the middle of building the temple. It said that Solomon started to build his house, and it took him 13 years to build. The author is showing us we're seeing some red flags. This isn't going to end well. And so Solomon isn't our guy. He isn't the seed. He isn't the Messiah, but he furthers the seed along. The seed will move through Solomon. And Solomon is very critical for redemptive history. So as we pick up in chapter 8, the ark is brought into the temple. Verse 1 says, "Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the leaders of the fathers' households, and the sons of Israel to King Solomon in Jerusalem to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the city of David, which is in Zion." So the elders of Israel and the Levites are bringing up all the holy utensils. And it says in verse 9 that there was nothing in the Ark except the 2 tablets of stone, which Moses put there at Horeb, where the Lord made a covenant with the sons of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. It happened that when the priest came from the holy place, the cloud filled the house of the Lord so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. So what do we have here? You have when God enters the room, people must leave. They have to leave because God is holy and there can't be any sin in his presence. So the people have to leave when God comes in, and it just shows you his glory and how holy he is. And then Solomon addressed the people. He talks about in verse 12, it says, "Then Solomon said, the Lord has said that he would dwell in a thick cloud. I have surely built you a lofty house, a place for your dwelling forever." Then the king faced about and blessed all the assembly of Israel while all the assembly of Israel was standing. And this is what Solomon says. He accounts what David desired, that he wanted to build a temple. He says this in verse 16, "But I chose David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of my father David to build a house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, because it is in your heart to build a house for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build a house, but your son, who will be born to you, he will build a house for my name. Now the Lord has fulfilled his word, which he spoke, for I have risen in place of my father David and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built the house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. There I have set a place for the ark in which the covenant of the Lord, which he made with our fathers when he brought them up from the land of Egypt." And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven. He said, "O Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant and showing loving kindness." That's our word, chesed. That word is so meaningful now to Israel because God should have been destroyed them and he doesn't. And this is the only reason why. This word right here, his loving kindness, his covenant love and his covenant loyalty. "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you. How much less the house which I have built." And so Solomon understands the omnipresence of God. And this is a beautiful doctrine of that. Now notice verse 41. It says that also concerning the foreigner who is not of your people Israel, when he comes from a far country for your name's sake, for they will hear of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm. And when he comes and prays towards this house, here in heaven, your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, in order that all the people of the earth may know your name, to fear you, as do your people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have built is called by your name. That is so beautiful. What that tells us is it unlocks that salvation isn't just for the Jews. The whole purpose of the Jews was to be a witnessing nation. This is why they're sandwiched in between other nations. Politically, it's dangerous because they're always in jeopardy. But theologically, it's brilliant because people always have to pass through and they will always have to proclaim the gospel to them. And so God hems to force them to depend on him militarily, but he also places them strategically to be a light and a witnessing nation. So salvation was always to go to the foreigner. Israel was created to make an international impact. God chose Israel as his people. Remember in Deuteronomy 8, he didn't choose them because they were greater than any nation. He chose them because they were smaller. It was nothing of them. He set his affections on them to make them a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And that should be encouraging to us, because when you look around, especially me in little old Mississippi, there's nothing special about me that salvation should come to me. And when I see what God has done for Israel, it encourages a brother like me to know that God had a plan for me too. And that should encourage you as well. You're just an everyday person, insignificant in a lot of ways. And if it was based on your own merit, there was nothing that great or appealing about you where salvation needed to come to you. But it's God who desired to be glorified by saving sinners and reconciling sinners unto himself. And you fit the bill. Be encouraged in that. Anytime you're ever down on yourself and questioning your salvation, there are certain tests you need to run through your mind. Obviously, you need to examine yourself. And when you pass those tests, take heart that God has saved and come to someone like you, using the weak things of the world to shame the wise. In verse 46, it says, when they sin against you, for there is no man who does not sin, and you are angry with them and deliver them to an enemy, so that they take them away captive to a land of the enemy, far off or near. If they take thought in the land where they've been taken captive and repent and make supplication to you in the land of those who have taken them captive, saying, I have sinned and have committed iniquity, we have acted wickedly. If they return to you with all of their heart and with all of their soul in the land of their enemies who have taken them captive, and pray to you towards their land, which you have given to their fathers, the city which you have chosen, and the house which I have built for your name, then hear their prayer and their supplication in heaven, your dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you, and all their transgressions they have transgressed against you, and make them objects of compassion before those who have taken them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they are your people and your inheritance, and you have brought them forth from Egypt and from the midst of the iron furnace, that your eyes may be open to the supplication of your servant and to the supplication of your people Israel, to listen to them whenever they call to you. And this is beautiful. Solomon is prophesying. He's saying, look, I know that they're going to go into exile, but if they return with all of their heart, you see that thing? All of their heart. This has always been emphasized. Solomon needed a listening heart. Deuteronomy 30 says you need a circumcised heart. Deuteronomy 6 says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart. And Solomon continues to give the key. If you would obey? No, if you listen to his voice. You gotta have a listening heart. If you listen to his voice, the Lord will circumcise your heart. And basically, this is the new covenant in a nutshell. Remember this book. Now, remember, this book was written while they were in exile. And we'll see that as it progresses. But this book is instructive, which means this needs to be me. If I turn back to God and ask him to change my heart, he will restore me. And so this is powerful. These people are recipients of what Moses hoped and prayed for. In verse 46, it says, when they sin against you, for there is no man who does not sin. There Solomon is establishing the doctrine of total depravity. It says in verse 56, blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel. And that's it. That's the point, to get back to rest. And Solomon has got them closer than anybody has ever gotten them. But we got a problem in chapter 9. Let's look at verses 10 through 14. It says, "It came about at the end of 20 years in which Solomon had built the two houses, the house of the Lord and the king's house. Hiram, king of Tyre, had supplied Solomon with cedar and cypress, timber and gold, according to his desire. Then Solomon had gave Hiram 20 cities of the land of Galilee. So Hiram came out from Tyre to see the cities which Solomon had given him, and they did not please him. He said, 'What are these cities which you have given me, my brother?' So they were called the land of Cabul to this day." And listen to this. "And Hiram sent to the king 120 talents of gold." Did you hear that? This is bad. Very bad. What is Solomon starting to collect now? Remember our triple G's? He's collected the horses. Now he's getting gold. And he's selling off the promised land to get it. This is not good. Remember when we were looking at Joshua and Zelophehad's daughters were rewarded for desiring the land? Solomon is doing the opposite. And he gets gold to do it. Now, he's only missing one thing. What is the girls, right? We saw it with the Egyptian woman. But be patient. It's coming, like the very next chapter. And that's how the chapter ends. It talks about how big, how beautiful, how mighty his kingdom was. And we'll even see that more with the Queen of Sheba tomorrow. But before long, you're going to see him multiply women. And guess what those women are going to do? They're going to take away his listening heart and cause him to go after other gods. And that's sad. And my encouragement to you today is to have a listening heart, to spend time with Yahweh. Spend quality, meaningful time with Yahweh. Look, devote yourself to his word. Even if you have to use these devos to help you, make sure you're looking to his word to have a listening heart, because Satan and all his minions are driving every attack they can your way to take away your listening heart and to drive you after an idol. And it's not just going to be a regular idol. It's going to be an idol of your liking. One that tempts you, one that is in line and follows suit with your entangling sins. So be careful. Stick close to Jesus. Hold his hand. Walk with him. Have a listening heart. Meditate on the word. Keep it planted deeply within you. Be rooted and grounded in the word of truth. Don't look to the right or to the left. Hold fast to the eternal words of truth, and they will hold you fast for all eternity. You guys take care and catch you next time.
Yeah.